The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Delighted to have you here Friday, the 12th of July. 67 degrees. We'll see about 100, 103 tomorrow. It'll be warm, but not the dangerous heat that we were seeing some of the days over the last few days. That's okay. And I do love the people that are writing me, Bill, what have happened to all the chemtrails? Where are all the chemtrails? And the chemtrails, they're all gone. I mean, and the planes are still flying. Yeah, they are. Yeah, I know these are the kind of conversations that make me, as a talk show host, my eyes just glaze over. When your humidity is about 6-7%, maybe 8 or 9% on the high side, you know, with the hot temperatures and things like that, you can have a whole lot of vapor going on behind a plane, and it's not going to make much of a line. Okay? Just saying. I know. But we're being, every time you do see a line, we're being sprayed. Remember. Okay. And yes, it's like Biden. It's like trying to talk reason to President Biden. Speaking of whom, yesterday, being today, Joe Biden is 80, just for the record, just so we understand, today being July 12th, Joe Biden is 81 years and 188 days old. And we have the election, 116 days, 117 days away, something like that. And the bar was pretty low yesterday for, remember, they were calling it the big boy press conference because he was going to do the press conference all by himself and everything was going to be just fine. And, you know, I'll show you. Essentially. And it was a great day. It was a great day for President Joe Tato. And there was this.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
They gasped.
President Putin. You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway.
Yeah, there was that, and then there was this.
I want to commend Ukrainian armed forces. Their defense secretary leaders are here as well.
Okay, there was this.
I'm following the advice of my commander-in-chief, the chief of staff of the military, as well as the secretary of defense and our intelligence people.
Okay, sounded good. Apparently confusing chief of staff with him being the commander in chief, but that's okay. It's all right. Doing just fine so far. Then there was this.
What concerns do you have about Vice President Harris's ability to beat Donald Trump if she were at the top of the ticket?
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president. Okay. I think she was not qualified to be president. So let's start there. Number one, the fact is that the consideration is that I think I'm the most qualified person to run for president. I beat him once, and I will beat him again. Secondly, the idea, I served in the Senate a long time. The idea that senators and congressmen.
Yeah, you heard that a lot. There were a lot of coughs, but of course, he could have had another cold, just like the debate a couple of weeks ago. And journalists were polite, but they were pretty pointed in their questioning.
I wanted to ask you about your you mixed up presidents Zelensky and Putin earlier today, and you now have sort of your key allies, including the British Prime Minister, the President of France, and the German Chancellor, having to step in and make excuses for you on that. Officials here are saying off the record that your decline has become noticeable. Hasn't this now, frankly, become damaging for America's standing in the world? Thank you.
Did you see any damage to our standing in my leading this conference? Have you seen a more successful conference? What do you think? And the Putin piece, I was talking about Putin, and I said, and now, at the very end, I said, here, I mean, Putin, I said, no, I'm sorry, Zelensky. And then I added five other names. Look, guys, the idea anybody suggests that we haven't had an incredibly successful conference. How many times did you hear in that conference, I know it sounds too self-serving, but other leaders, heads of state, in thanking me, saying the reason we're together is because of Biden, because Biden did the following. Look, folks, this is a. Well, anyway,
and there we go. That was President Joe yesterday. And meanwhile, the latest headline coming here. Recent days, Vice President Kamala Harris has emerged as the front runner for the Democrat Party's 2024 presidential nominee. This is happening in various betting markets, surpassing President Joe Biden. Predicted traders now give Harris a 44% chance of leading the Democratic ticket, while Biden's chances have fallen to 38%. The shift comes as pressure mounts for Biden to drop out of the race against former President Donald Trump, who, by the way, has been, and I'm happy to say, and I wasn't sure he was capable of doing this because, you know, the Don likes to run. Now, he did say a little stuff yesterday, doing some tweeting on or some, you know, some noting on Truth Social about President Joe Tato and the Zelensky as Putin, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that kind of thing. But he's been really quiet. He's been really quiet for the most part. And apparently, when your rival is in the process of destroying himself, you shut up. And that's exactly what Don's been doing. And good for him. Good for him. 17 after 6, we'll go over some of the other news here, too. We'll certainly be talking about this and more. Rick Manning will join me, president of Americans for Limited Government, the D.C. Swamp Update. Just wondering about the mechanisms and, you know, if he's not going to step aside, wouldn't you think it's going to have to be the Amendment 25? The Amendment 25, and I don't see how they get past this one because the world cannot unsee what they have been seeing, and it is very sad. And I don't know who's clinging to power more, if it is President Biden or First Lady Jill Biden. It's hard to say. 18 after 6, you're on KMED and 99.3 KBXG, where the Bill Maher Show is heard.
Spectrum delivers with fast and reliable internet. And with Spectrum One, you get even more. Spectrum internet, so you can work, game, and stream with speeds up to a gig. Plus advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and one Spectrum Mobile unlimited line, both free for 12 months. Internet, advanced Wi-Fi, and mobile. Get it all together with Spectrum One. Starting at just $49.99 a month. Visit Spectrum.com for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Bill Maher, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters, proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley boatloads of cash over the years, and they aren't stopping. Get a Lithia body and paint certificate, normally $500, now only $300. Artisan bakery certificates, normally $25, only $15. American Rancher Garage, $75 certificates, good for any service, only $40. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
20 minutes after 6 on the Bill Maher Show. Mr. Outdoors, Greg Roberts, joins me at 7:10 this morning for the usual Friday. We talk about the outdoors and where things are going on and all the good stuff out in the country, like the bumper music. And as far as the fires, the latest that we have, the Salt Creek Fire, it's kind of bumping around, and yeah, they're getting things... I don't want to say it's under control, but they're starting to contain it a bit more. We're getting closer to about 4,000 feet, but it didn't look, or 4,000 acres rather, but It doesn't appear that the fire activity has just been insane, judging by the smoke production. And in Jackson County in the Valley, it hasn't been been all that bad. Now, the Shelley Fire, that is still just a super, super hot mess. And by the way, I'm not downplaying what's going on with Salt Creek. It's just that Salt Creek, of course, and maybe it's because it's burning on a burn scar. Maybe it's a little easier to get a handle on. But we're talking about 4,000. We're creeping ever closer to about 4,000 acres there. Shelley Fire at last report about 9,300 acres, and they have no handle on that really at this point. All those evacuations, you know, get out in many of those areas in Northern California. And we pray that maybe with a few degrees reduction in temperature like we've been looking at, perhaps a better shot at getting a handle on what's going on there. Other fire news, we had the Medford City Council last night approve the purchase of a new fire truck, a $2 million tiller fire truck, they call that. And apparently this is one of those fire trucks that has a really tight turning radius. Maybe it has a little hinge in it. I don't know. I haven't taken a picture of it yet. But KOBI 5 reporting that it makes navigating around bikes and pedestrians much easier. Okay. Around bikes, and I would have thought, okay, well, of course, you know, we are talking about a city that is putting up those, you know, bollards everywhere that they can certainly do it, because downtown is supposed to be made for, the bicycle utopia for the bum highway. You know, that is official policy, I think. I don't think they'll refer to it as the bum highway. But the tiller truck will also increase access on narrow streets and roundabouts, urban developments, and so much more as we try to turn ourselves into Europe, right? Tiller truck will replace the Medford Fire Department's current 25-year-old reserve ladder truck and 16-year-old heavy rescue pumper. Now, I wonder where they're going to transfer that. I'm hoping that they transfer it to some of the to one of the smaller departments around here in Southern Oregon instead of doing something like, oh, we're going to send it to our sister city in Mexico or someplace like that. I don't know if we have a sister city. We probably do. But Medford City Councilor Vice President Nick Card says it's vital for the city to be on top of fire safety. Okay, so there we go. Of course, most of the fire safety, frankly, when it comes to our residential fires, has been taken care of with building codes, really. Other fire news, Jackson County Fire District, this in the Rogue Valley Times today. Jackson County Fire District voted this week. They're looking for help from Fire District 3. Now, they've had some real management snafus going on over there. And they voted this week to authorize Interim Fire Chief Aaron Bustard to enter official talks with Fire District 3 regarding an intergovernmental agreement to reduce costs and retain or improve service levels for Fire District 5. And they talked about everything from staffing levels to grant funding and deliberated for more than half of the three-hour meeting in executive session to consider information and records that are exempt by law. Okay, we know about that. Board Chair Greg Costanzo said the board had been in talks for the past month with Medford Fire Rescue, Ashland Fire Rescue, and Jackson County Fire District 3. And so they're allowing Fire Chief Bustard to meet with Fire District 3. I'm wondering if this is going to be about either, maybe even more than a mutual aid, but maybe it's about sharing. Maybe it's about sharing more services. And, of course, I have to tell you, frankly, I wonder why we end up running a bunch of separate fire districts here in Southwest Oregon, in Southern Oregon. I really do think that we probably get top-heavy in management because of that, and maybe this is the first crack in that those county fire districts sort of situation where, you know, I don't know why you just don't have one fire chief over all of these districts. That's the way I would tend to look at it. It's kind of like having to have, five dozen school districts. You know, now I know. Well, it's local control. Gosh, I wish it were local control when you have the money being doled out to you by the state, which is why, you know, you're never really going to escape the state unless you escape public schooling. But I digress. So we'll see where that ends up going. It's quite interesting, all right? Interesting story in Oregon Live that you may have missed if you're not a subscriber, but unfortunately I am. And so I was taking a look at this, and it has to do with the lottery ticket scheme. And there's been a lottery ticket scheme going on for quite some time, which is it's quite interesting. I never knew about this. And they have these, up, especially up in the Portland area, what they call lottery ticket aggregators. And a bunch of lawmakers have been talking to the Oregonian newspaper involving these this gambling regulation and what's going on. They want to try to it's ticket discounting. There are companies that are out there that will discount the tickets. In other words, you win $1 million, and okay, and here's how they describe it. And there are some people that have had lottery tickets that have, well, they've cashed in more than $15 million in various tickets during the last 6 years with the Oregon Lottery. Several individuals, a number of these individuals. And what they do is that they go and they buy the tickets from the true winners. So in other words, let's say that that you won $1,000 in Powerball, let's say. You had a Powerball ticket, it's worth $1,000. And so what they'll do is that they'll buy the ticket from you for $600. Now, why would you want to do something like that? Well, it appears that there are a lot of people that are trying to skirt, well, they're kind of deadbeats, either your deadbeat dads or people that owe a lot of money, that have judgments against them. And then what happens is that they get the cash from the person who then buys the ticket from them and cashes it in at the Oregon Lottery. That's what they're doing, yeah. And so the deadbeat dad doesn't pay the child support. You know, they get a $50,000 winning somehow. They're playing Keno or whatever it is, and they win. And so they take it to these people who buy it from them for cash. It's like a discount. So, all right, instead of getting $50,000, you get $30,000, but you don't have to pay the ex-wife, right? That's the sort of stuff that's going on. And the legislature is saying that they're looking at maybe trying to tighten that up because they just think that that's not a good thing. It probably is. It probably is not a good thing. But yet, the Oregon Lottery, you know, you look at the back of those tickets, and even then it says it's a bearer instrument. It's one of those things where you sign it, it's yours. It's that kind of thing. So it's not illegal at this point. So I imagine the state legislature next year is going to take a look at that. And I understand that, for someone trying to escape and not having to pay the debt, be a deadbeat and just continue to try to do this, probably not fair. But I never really knew much about that and hadn't really considered it, all right? Rogue Valley Times also reporting this morning, this on their front here, Jackson County Animal Shelter cited by OSHA a few weeks ago had workplace safety violations. Whole bunch of violations, fines of $3,700 or so. According to OSHA officials, complaint was lodged and they had an inspection. And one of the violations, and this is the only one I guess was considered serious, had to do with safety gear for handling animals, you know, the bite, having the sticks and the bite gloves, you know, making sure that the people don't get chewed up by the dogs, the mean dogs there. And with not having eye protection for employees using chemicals to clean the kennels. And so county said that the citation said the county did not select and have each affected employee use the types of personal protection equipment that would afford the affected employee or protect the employee from the hazards. So there we go. Well, the shelter has always been a challenge the last few years, and I'm sure that they'll get this fixed up, though. One thing you can say about Jackson County for the most part is that even when there is a problem, it will get fixed when you look at the history of what's going on there. And let's see. 28-year-old man arrested in Eagle Point the other day, violating his probation, barricaded himself in a house. Eagle Point police ended up putting out a news release here. Jacob Johnson, 28-year-old, menacing his family members. And there was already a protection order and a probation. He was on probation and told he's to have no contact with the people there. And they took him into custody peaceably. But, yet another proof that a protection order is worth the paper that it is printed on. And once again, the real protection order, a firearm or other weapon that you could dispatch the miscreant if they were to try to manhandle you. All right, that's all I would say. But it's something you see this time and time again. Well, I had this protection order will protect me. Oh, only if it were true. Protection orders protect lawfuls, protect people who behave lawfully from other people who behave lawfully, all right? But not against criminal dirtbags, just saying. It's a 6:31, but of course, yeah, thanks, Captain Obvious. I know. This is the Bill Myers Show, and you're on KMED and KBXG.
Jasper's Cafe, voted Medford's best burgers for 14 years running. Jasper's has been a local tradition for over 40 years. Come in and see for yourself why we've been recognized nationally for our amazing burgers featuring outrageous toppings and a delicious range of meats from local grass-fed beef to elk to bison and more. We're just 1 mile up North Pacific Highway from the mall, or check out our menu at jasperscafe.com. Jasper's, burgers with attitude.
At Father & Son Jewelry, we now have Lashberg Designs. They've revolutionized ring building.
That's right, Beck. Our customers don't have to settle for something someone else thinks is a great style. Instead, they choose the material, the design, the engraving, everything. It's their ring.
It's amazing. Choose one of 200 rings in our display case, scan the QR code into the tablet, and then watch the magic happen. So many options to customize and make it your own.
Come into Father & Son Jewelry for a demonstration.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. President Biden is not budging in his insistence that he will not drop out of the race for the White House, despite a growing number of Democrats calling on him to step aside. The heat wave, it's holding so much of the country in its grip. Not low yet. Number of deaths from coast to coast blamed on the intense heat. A utility company executive in Houston warns that about 500,000 homes and businesses will not have electricity restored until next week sometime. This is widespread outages persist from Hurricane Beryl. A year after catastrophic flooding, Vermont has been hit again, and this time at least two people lost their lives to the remnants of Hurricane Beryl. It unleashed flash flooding, resulting in more than 100 swift water rescues. New York City jury set to begin deliberating the criminal charges against Democratic U.S. Senator Bob Menendez, New Jersey. More details, SRNNews.com.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your health care costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-in-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-in-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-in-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty around. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-in-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
1954, 70 years ago, first children to receive the Salk's polio vaccine. The number three song of the day, the crew cut Shaboom. Meantime, store number three for Grover was next to open. Grover Electric and Plumbing in Grants Pass, Oregon, welcoming do-it-yourselfers and contractors with a promise of superior service, quality products, and everyday low prices. Grover celebrates 70 years of do-it-yourself and save. For a location near you, visit groverelectric.com.
Stewardship. That means taking great care of the people and the things we've been entrusted with. Hi, this is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. Being good stewards is a value at the core of our business. Every interaction, every transaction is another opportunity to do the right thing. If you're looking for a new shop to bring your vehicle, or maybe you're a technician who wants to be part of something bigger, we'd love to meet you. You can find us on the web at kellysautomotive.com or Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle but take care of you.
I'll sing for
this is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:36. Yes, he's back.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see. I'm not told.
Yes, indeed, the DC Swamp Update. It is the craziest party and getting crazier by the minute. Rick Manning is president of Americans for Limited Government. Rick, how the heck are you doing this morning? Did you...
I'm doing great.
Did you ever think that you would see such a spectacle as what we ended up seeing yesterday with the big boy press conference? Did you ever think we would see a day like that?
Well, no, because the media's been in on it the whole time, and I never expect them to ask any questions. So, you know, it's a, when you get down to it, that's, I didn't expect it because I didn't, I thought Joe Biden would go away more easily when he was told it was time to go, and he said no. And so now they're unleashing the hounds on him, and, you know, the problem they have is he just doesn't, didn't care.
Yeah,
he's president, they're not.
But, you know, he's the president. He doesn't have to go away unless the kill shot politically comes from Amendment 25. And arguably, how difficult is it to do Amendment 25? Because you think about it, you look back in history and there are presidents that should have been Amendment 25, used the 25th Amendment on many times. You can think of like Wilson. Certainly an example in which Wilson's wife ended up essentially being the de facto president in his presidency after his stroke. And, FDR was certainly going down there feeble, you know, especially in that third term. He was dead man walking, essentially, at that point, but they kept propping him up. But back then...
Wrong term of art with FDR, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, okay. but still... What would they have to do this? Do you know? Have you ever looked into that? Just curious. Spitballing.
Well, first of all, this is really a new amendment. It wasn't around back then, but.
Oh, you're right.
It was created due to Al Haig jumping out in front of the cameras and saying he was in charge when Ronald Reagan was in surgery after he was shot. So that was actually the genesis of it. And to give the cabinet a capacity if a president was temporarily or permanently incapacitated to transfer power, effectively hand off the nuclear football.
Right.
So that's the purpose of it. It's essentially a tool that the cabinet is allowed to, with a certain percentage, I haven't looked at what the percentage is, but a certain percentage of the cabinet, sign a affidavit that says we find that the President of the United States is no longer capable of doing the job, or either temporarily or permanently. And so it's an internal coup is what it is. Mm-hmm. And the challenge that exists that we're discovering right now is the vice president really has to lead it. And so in a lot of respects, the vice president has to lead it. So given that, Kamala Harris's political survival depends upon her staying loyal to Joe Biden till the very end, and then regrettably having to step forward as he's made a very tough decision for the sake of the nation. That's how Kamala Harris survives.
So this is threading a political needle of sorts, right?
100%. Remember, we've got 50% of the public out there who didn't realize this guy was incapacitated for the last 4 years.
Right.
So, you know, they haven't, you know, they weren't told. They've been watching the evening news and they weren't told. And you know what? It's the scandal in this. When you get down to it, it's the scandal. They're trying to make the scandal the handlers, the people who actually, you know, made sure that the incapacitated president was able to still function, and the government kept going ahead, right or wrong. They're trying to make that the scandal. The scandal is that just yesterday, Chuck Todd, who was the political head of NBC News for many, many years and was pushed aside, I think, last year, he spoke publicly and said, well, he had people telling him this was the fact 3 years ago. Well, you're a reporter.
Why didn't you report it?
I mean, so you have all these reporters now kind of behind the scenes. Yeah, I had a cabinet member tell me this and blah, blah, blah. And you go, wait a second. You don't get to come out now and say, oh, I was sworn to secrecy. No, you're a reporter. You're told the president of the United States isn't able to do his job. And you don't go around corroborate sources. You don't do the job and say, I have two sources within the administration that says the president of the United States is unable to do his job. You don't do that?
Well, it's because they believed in the agenda. The people that were running Joe Biden were fine with what was MSNBC and NBC News reporters, that kind of thing. They liked it.
And that is what every single person out there who's watching them scramble right now needs to understand. Read almost every single thing they say about it. Read George Stephanopoulos. Read any of the people who've talked about this. And to a person, they say the rationale for getting rid of him is not that he's incapacitated, it's that he can't win. Okay? If they sat there and they said he's incapacitated and they're all worried about that, they would 25th Amendment him and he would be gone. But the fact is, every single person talking about this is not talking about his ability to do the job, even though that's clearly compromised.
But you see, that's the important part about it. I mean, the politics is certainly important whether you can win or not, but whether the fact he is incapacitated and whether he does suffer from sundowner syndrome, you know, he gets late in the day and the thing is, we all hope to be 81 years and 186 days old, which I think is what he is, today, somewhere, you know, something right in that. We all hope to get there someday, but, you know, I'm going to be 63 and I'm not as good as I was when I was 23, okay? You know, I mean, physically, we just know these are things that are just real. And when I'm 83, it's probably going to be different, too. It's like all of us are this way. We just have to understand it. And there are some things you're just not cut out for at different times in your life.
There's a reason they have an early bird special at the restaurant and the diner, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's it can range from, I don't like to drive at night because my eyes aren't as good.
Yeah.
To a whole lot of other reasons. But, you know, we know that the physical capacity changes. But the thing that I've always been concerned about is not the fact he walks around stiff and is, you know, it's that he gets lost on stage. I'm not concerned. His physical capacity, you know, if he were in a wheelchair, I wouldn't care. What I care about is he can't do the job mentally. And that is the only thing anybody should be caring about. And the fact that the press and the Democrats are all scurrying around, you know, we have to replace them on the ballot.
Yeah, because we're looking at it from a political point of view, rather than what's the good of the country, right?
The Democrats in the House have discovered, oh my gosh, we could lose as many as 20 seats in this upcoming election, we were expected to take over the House. Wait a second, that's not right.
Uh-huh.
So now the Democrats in the House are getting all concerned about it, not because he can't do the job. Once again, they're more than happy to leave him in for 6 months. Maybe it's 5.5 months now. Mm-hmm. For five months, be president of the United States with a nuclear football. They're more than happy to do that with wars in four different regions that threaten to blow up the entire world. They're more than happy for that to happen. Well, they're concerned about, gee, I might lose my congressional seat because he can't go out and campaign. Nobody's going to be enthusiastic to go out to vote, and I'm going to get creamed.
Yeah,
you know, that's everything that's wrong. That is, if you want to encapsulate Washington D.C. and everything that's wrong, it's the left's response to this quote unquote crisis that they've known about for probably 5 to 6 years. You know, their response is, now that the public knows, we may not be able to win elections. So as long as the public
didn't know, it was fine.
It was
right?
Perfectly okay.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. And so we sit there and, you know, we do the cartoons. Tony Bronco has his cartoons he puts out if you follow us, where, you know, whenever he's there, he's got a little sippy cup. And he's got some blood on his hands from Afghanistan. And, you know, Tony has some things he puts into every single cartoon.
Yeah.
But because he's making a point about you know, kind of the enfeebled presidency in every cartoon. But it was a conservative conspiracy theory. And all of those media people, and I blame the media people most of all the, you know, political hacks and staff, you know, they're not going to come out and say, gee whiz, I need to lose my job because, you know, the best job I've ever had because the president's not able to do it.
But isn't it interesting a lower-level radio host ended up losing...
A lower-level radio host ended up losing her job because she took questions from them and asked 4 of the 8 questions. And, oh, by the way, I want to know if the producer lost their job because they're the ones who edited the radio tape to cut out some of his worst... glitches that in the interview.
Yeah, but the White House more or less calls and says, "Yeah, you're gonna cut that out," and right. They did it. And the thing is, though, the rest of the media outlets have been doing essentially the same thing for years.
100% correct. They have been covering for him forever, and this is now because the people know because they're oh my gosh, you know this is you know we haven't seen a bigger public lie, and this is a fictional, but since Casablanca and the inspector goes in and says, "Oh my gosh, there's gambling."
There's gambling in there, yeah.
You know, it's like, what are you? This is like they all knew; they were all in on it, and now the scrambling, the asking of questions, and all that is really to try to provide them with some journalistic cover. And I'm going to tell you, the minute they decide they can't get him off the ballot, you're going to see this all go away. It's kind of hard to put it back in the bottle, but and put it back in Pandora's box. But you know, we're seeing a brief glimpse of journalism, but it's against their will. And the minute they run out of runway to get rid of him, they're trapped. And they're going to, and at that point, you will never hear another thing about his incapacity to do the job.
But what do you mean run out of runway? Because if this were a serious country, you use the 25th Amendment, you're done with it. We thank you very much. Here's your gold watch and have a nice day. You and Dr. Jill can, you know, go off and live the rest of your life in peace.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'm just telling you, they don't care about whether he can do the job. They care about whether they can win the election, okay?
Okay.
That's the problem. That's the problem with the country. The people who are in charge right now don't care if the president can do the job. They care if they keep power. It's all about power. The end justifies the means. And as a result, there are no tactics that are too low that they won't use in order to maintain power. And because of that, and if we hadn't experienced the last 5 years of lawfare and the like, you would sit there and say, you know, you could come up with all sorts of things that they would do, and you'd be called a liar, and then they do them in terms of lawfare stuff. But they've already done that. I mean, they've pulled out a lot of their big cannons. So now they've got they have to convince and try to convince the American public that they are better off electing Joe Biden and having kind of the staff run it, knowing he'll die soon, and Kamala Harris elevates, they're better off doing that than they are electing Donald Trump. That is what they're going to have to do, and it is going to be the 3 months. Once they get past their convention, if Joe Biden survives the convention, it will be the worst 2 months of any campaign you'll have ever seen, because the only thing they'll be able to do is to just run a most vicious campaign
It's going to be about how President Trump is bad, not how great Joe Biden is.
They're going to try to change the subject, and suddenly you'll see media reports. Well, you know, you'll never see Biden glitch again. You'll see, you know, they'll provide little packages of him putting little videos out that are in controlled environments to make him seem like he's real. Staff, I'll give it to the Biden staff. They've done a really good job of protecting him from himself in many respects. They finally got so in the Easter egg roll, they had one of the staff members in the Easter bunny suit following him around to make sure he didn't get lost on the White House lawn. Hmm. So, you know, it was a, you know, so they've had to be very imaginative in terms of handling him and making certain he's, you know, he doesn't, you know, go down to the tennis court and, you know, fall asleep by the net.
You know something, Rick, ultimately what concerns me about this is that, you know, I've loved this country, been here since 1961, and I've seen a lot of stuff go on over those years. And I cannot help but see how the United States of America in its current state over the last 10 to 20 years has essentially gone down that road of, it just reminds me, it's rhyming with late stage Soviet Union, in which many people understand that, yep, they're lying to us. We know they're lying. It's kind of like the old Solzhenitsyn quote, you know, from the Gulag Archipelago. And we have this sclerotic leadership or so-called leadership everywhere you're looking at. I remember Brezhnev, who, you know, drunk and enfeebled, you know, at the May Day parades. And I remember as a young man watching those things in which, you know, doing the little wave as the missiles are going by on parade, you know, that kind of stuff. This is, it's what we have. We have it right now. It's a Potemkin village government of sorts, is it not, really? I mean, how different are we other than the fact we may have more nukes? I don't know.
I don't know that we have more nukes, but...
actually, yeah, Russia probably still has more, right?
What's that? Yeah, we got rid of a lot of nukes over the last 40 years.
Yeah.
But the... yeah, it's certainly the biggest fraud, the reason people should be offended is, the reason honest people on the left should be offended by this.
Yes.
Is because the idea of elected representatives and having an elected government, elected president, the idea behind that is that that the people have something to do with what's going on in their government. That's the entire idea.
That's the entire idea, but the whole idea is just to fool the rubes. It's just out in the open now.
Well, that's my point. That's why people who actually are thinking and you know, agree, actually believe in this thing called, that they keep calling democracy, which is actually a republic. But, you know, they at the same time, I mean, this is, once again, one of the great ironies here, and it goes to the Soviet Union and how they ran things. Everything that comes out of their mouth is a lie. It's the opposite. When they sit there and they say democracy, okay, they keep saying democracy is under attack, and they've got people who believe this garbage. Mm-hmm. Democracy by Trump, and Trump's the one who had the entire federal government, the Department of Justice, attempting to stop him from being president in 2016.
And once he was in, they took him out and emasculated him politically. It made it impossible to work.
And then went after him on charges that were completely made up afterwards because he was threatening to run. And it's a, you know, that's a threat to democracy. You don't get to say democracy and then have a government-sanctioned legal attack on your opponent. You don't get to do those two things. You don't get to spy on your opponent using the intelligence agencies and then say democracy. You don't get to say, gee whiz, we're going to, and I'll just go policy thing here, we're going to just wipe out the debt of a whole bunch of voters that we need to have without a vote of Congress, just waving a magic wand and wipe it out and say democracy, and then have the Supreme Court say, no, you can't do that. Say, well, we're doing it anyway. And then say democracy. No, you have to. You go to the Congress and say, hey, we want to do this. Mm-hmm. You have a public fight about it, and you either win or you lose. They have subverted the idea of rule by the people, a government of the people, by the people, for the people. They have subverted that through virtually every action they have taken. And so they don't get to say democracy anymore. When you get – anytime people sit there and see Donald Trump up one babe strong, trying to, you know, actually talking about policy and stuff, and you have Joe Biden unable to remember that Zelensky isn't Putin. When you see those two, and you know that the power elites, the establishment in this town, in Washington, D.C., and New York City, and L.A., knew that Joe Biden was incapable, and they hid it from you. And they didn't care about the country. All they cared about was maintaining power. When you So anytime you see Joe Biden up or somebody talks to you who's on the left and they start talking about the threat of Donald Trump, don't let them get away with it. The coup against our government, against the people, has been Joe Biden. It's been Joe Biden and the decision to hide from the American public that he's incapable of doing the job. And by the way, what does that say about what they think about Kamala Harris?
All right. I'm going to shift gears for you for the last couple of minutes. But it's true.
That was a hard speech, but it's true.
But it's true. No, I know. I'm not disagreeing with you whatsoever. Okay. Now then. Next week is the GOP convention. Of course, we know who the nominee is going to be. It's not going to be particularly exciting in that respect. But really, the only question is vice presidential pick.
Mm-hmm.
Any odds rising for some and going away for others? Some people are still telling me it's Tim Scott. I just don't see that, but I could be wrong. What do you think?
I think it's going to be J.D. Vance.
You think it's J.D.? Even with the beard. He doesn't like beards. Trump doesn't like beards.
Yeah, I think he'll get over it. I guess he wanted to own the Yankees at some point. But I think he'll get over it. Maybe J.D. will shave for him, and then he'll see, oh, well, that's why you wear a beard. But it's a no, I don't think the beard.
Yeah, put the beard back on, you know, like Don Jr., right?
If they have narrowed it to three, and that's, I've learned enough that when a persistent rumor like that keeps going around and nobody says otherwise, that it's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got beardless Marco Rubio, bearded Vance,
bearded J.D. Vance,
and unknown Doug Burgum. You know, if you're sitting there, you've got those options. I think Donald Trump is sitting there and he's gonna pick Vance. Like, Rubio causes too many problems.
Yep.
Okay. It's just we are in the midst of the Democrats desperately trying to manipulate a procedure to make it so they can push Joe Biden off the ballot. They're going to end their convention. They're going to try to have the convention delegates. The only way they can do it if Joe Biden doesn't just agree is to have the convention delegates at the Democratic convention vote in advance in the rules of the convention on the floor before any presidential stuff happens, to vote to enable first term, you know, delegates who are pledged to vote in the first round to be able to break that pledge if they find that the candidate is incapable of doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
So they will put a wiggle room so they can have him lose the first ballot. And that's how they'll have to, what they're going to have to do. So they'll basically subvert democracy again, since he's the one who got all the votes. But so in that world, you don't want to have to be explaining why Marco Rubio is eligible when the president lives in Florida and Marco Rubio lives in Florida.
And you're just not allowed to do that. Yeah, you'd lose the Florida's electoral votes, and you can't afford that. Can't do that.
You can't afford that, that legal fight. And secondly, it's not worth the hassle. You don't want to create a situation where your manipulating system gets to be an equivalency with what the Democrats are doing.
Yeah, you don't even want to go there. So, So we'll say that J.D. Vance has the inside track right now.
Nobody in D.C. anyway, that doesn't mean anything, but the people who are closest to Tim Scott, who I know, don't believe he's going to be the nominee, the vice presidential nominee. He's done a great job of defending the president, President Trump, but President Trump's first and foremost goal here is to have a vice president who he believes can run the country. And he respects people who have run businesses successfully. And Burgum and J.D. Vance mirror Donald Trump much more than Marco Rubio does.
And I would also dare say that whoever is going to be vice president will automatically be next Republican candidate. So there we go. And I would feel a lot better about Vance and or Doug Burgum. Burgum's boring, but it's a good boring. Okay? You know?
Get used to him. He's going to be the Secretary of Energy, I believe.
Right? Yeah.
Where I think he's going to end up. Anyway, now I could be completely wrong. I have no insider knowledge on this. This is just analysis. And, you know, he could pick, you know, there's 100 million Americans he could pick, and he'd be better than Kamala. So it's a, you know, he'd go to a phone book and, you know, pick somebody out of the phone book as long as enough from Florida.
Yeah, by the way, here's Fred from the Quickie Mart. Fred, welcome to the vice presidency. Yeah.
And he'll say, I can't believe how much prices have gone up, and we need to do something. And, oh, by the way, we could fix this, this, and this, because I've seen what happened. You know, I mean, they're not, they're intellectual. The Democrats' intellectual thought leader is a bartender from the Queens, okay? That's a, let's just be clear. So why not Fred from Quickie Mart?
Yep, why not? Now, before we take off here, Rick Manning, by the way, president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com, okay? I'm going to go have to get Bronco's latest cartoon, too. But I'm going to have a little fun, a little play with you. Now, you have a couple of friends who used to be in the Marine Corps band, right?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. You do realize that the Marine Corps was tasked with writing a theme for First Lady Dr. Jill Biden, right? Are you aware of that?
I am aware of that.
Okay, great.
I've not heard it, though.
Okay. You've not heard it? Okay, good. This is going to be fun, then. All right? I'm going to play to you the walking up music that the Marine Band composed for First Lady Jill Biden. So here we go. And tell me what you think it reminds you of, okay? I don't know if you can... It rhymes with something, all right?
Ladies and gentlemen, the First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden.
Oh, no.
Okay, that part's okay. But it kind of sounds a little rinky-dink, doesn't it?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that is...
Were there jugglers and stuff coming in
there? No. But a friend of mine, Matt, and he told me to go listen to it. And I heard it, and I knew exactly where he was going, what it sounded like. Can you think of a television theme that it reminds you of? Here, I'll play the beginning again, all right?
Jill Biden.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Okay, here we go. Take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden.
Remember F Troop?
Yeah, F Troop. That's great.
Does it remind you that?
No, it's if not intentional. That's where I went down the jugglers and stuff, the clowns. That is great. So does that mean that Larry Storch has been brought back to be maybe he's Tony Blinken?
Yeah, well, Ken Berry could be Secretary of Defense. You know, the Secretary.
He could be Secretary of Defense.
Now I'm thinking.
I have to say, I think that's the first thing to go. And, you know, with all the talking and stuff, on January 20 at 12:01, I think that's the first thing to go. The First Lady theme song is, I think Jill's going to be able to take that to her First Lady library that she's going to build to herself.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's the only other thing I would add. You had mentioned that the Marine Corps band treats this kind of stuff seriously when they're told, hey, the First Lady wants some music composed. But I can't help but think that this was the Marine Corps' way of getting even with First Lady Jill Biden, in which you come up with this cartoonish kind of sound. And this is kind of like, all right, how about FU Troop, you know, essentially.
I was never in band, mm-hmm. but My friends who were in band, what I knew about them is they had a really, really wicked sense of humor. Uh-huh. And were typically smart, because you have to be relatively smart to play a musical instrument effectively. And so I think you got some of the smartest people, you know, in the Marines are sitting there, and they're told to do something. They think it's ridiculous, so they go full moderation.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah. And all right, create, First Lady.
That is,
yeah, we got you. We got your theme right here. Okay.
Yeah, we got your theme right here. Have a little theme right here. Yeah. It's, maybe there's an Italian.
On that note, Rick, have a great weekend. We'll talk next Friday, okay? Thank you.
Well, I can't. I hope I can get that song out of my head. Take care, buddy.
All right. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. This is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. What an honor. Coming.